To all those in Rome and at Emmanuel in Albany who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you from and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those are the words that Paul used when he wrote his letter to the Romans. It's part of the epistle lesson for today. But those words not only apply to the Romans at that time, but they apply to us today as well. When I hear those words, I feel a sense of peace and a sense of comfort, even though those words were written 2,000 years ago. They remind me that I am loved by God, and what a wonderful thought that is. You and I are loved by the Creator of the entire universe. The words from the other readings bring me some comfort and peace today as well. Many of you may remember memorizing some of the words that we hear today and will hear in the next week. You perhaps had to memorize those for the children's Christmas program when you were much younger than you are today. My 90-year-old cousin still takes great joy in reciting the Christmas story from chapter 2 of Luke. And at 90, she does a really good job of reciting it verse by verse. And it came to pass, she says, in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of David because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Words that we have all heard before, and words that bring me at least comfort, I hope you as well. And the Old Testament is a lesson that we have heard before as well. I certainly remember it from the 65 or so Christmases that are part of my memory. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Some of you may not know it, but this verse is considered to be the sign of Emmanuel. God gives a sign to Ahaz, who was the king of Judah at the time. It's only one of hundreds of predictions of the coming Messiah that we find in the Old Testament that are in fact renewed and come true in the New Testament. And in the gospel lesson from Matthew, we read the fulfillment of that prophecy. Mary and Joseph are promised to each other, but not in an intimate relationship at that point. Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, and his initial thought is, I don't want to embarrass her, I don't want to bring any embarrassment to her, and so I'm going to quietly break off the engagement. But the angel Gabriel comes to Joseph and says, Mary's pregnancy is of the Holy Spirit, and you need not worry about that, and you need not break off that relationship. And Joseph does as the angel commands. Matthew quotes the angel Gabriel speaking to Joseph, she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew goes on to say, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, the words that we just heard a few minutes ago from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. To which Matthew adds, Emmanuel means God with us. I remember on June 25th of this year saying, only 179 days to Christmas. Today there are only 7 days to Christmas. We've had some challenges since then. We're still experiencing the after effects of the burglary. We all survived a tumultuous election season. We have elected new council members. We have resumed the call process. We've heard from Pastor Metzler and his suggestions about how we might make this congregation grow. And individually, you might have experienced some things during those 6 months as well. I know there have been some falls and some broken bones. There have been surgeries and changes in places of living. Perhaps you've gotten some medical results in the meantime. Maybe you're happy with them, maybe you're not. But during this time of the year, the gray skies and the damp and the cold seem to settle in, and the cloudy and gray tends to suppress our spirit. It's a time when we need and we want to have comfort. We want to feel secure. And yet we know that these things, at least on this side of heaven, cannot always be assured that we will have those feelings of security and comfort. Those feelings are hard to come by. But for me, when I read the passages that I have just been reading, when I think of those passages, when I meditate on those passages, I do get a sense of peace and of comfort. They lift up my spirits. They bring back childhood memories of warmth and security, and those feelings are rekindled. They give me a sense of peace and of comfort. But you might ask, well, how is it that just words on a page can bring comfort to someone? One of the most important parts of reading God's word is the promises that he makes to us, promises that we can trust. It is these promises that bring comfort to us. It is these promises that fan into flame even the weakest spark of the weakest faith that each one of us might have. Promises that reward us with comfort and peace and with joy. As we approach Christmas, we think in particular about the promise that was made in the Old Testament to send a Messiah. And so we think too, how might those mere words put peace within us? Well, this time of the year, we hear a lot about peace. My emails frequently close with peace and then my initials, L-O. TV commercials speak of peace on earth. And Christmas cards that you receive might describe or offer peace and blessings from God during this season. But you see, God's peace offers us much more than the English word peace that we think about when we see or hear that word peace. The Hebrew word that is translated as the English word peace is shalom. Shalom has a much richer meaning, a much fuller meaning than that English word that we use, peace. While it means, like the English word peace, the absence of war, the absence of conflict, the absence of turmoil, shalom communicates much more. Shalom also communicates the notion of a positive blessing from God. It especially implies a right relationship with God, something that we struggle with. And because of that right relationship that we have with God, when we wish someone shalom, it suggests that all is well in somebody's life, that life could not be better. God's shalom, God's peace, may be best described as the time in the Garden of Eden before the fall of Adam and Eve. So when you wish someone God's peace, you are saying, may your life be like Adam and Eve's life before the fall in the Garden of Eden. What a wonderful time that must have been. What a wonderful thing to offer to someone. Each Sunday we hear the benediction or the blessing at the end of the service. Most Sundays you hear from Numbers chapter 6, the last line of which is, "May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace." Said another way, you might hear these words, "May the Lord look upon you with favor so that your life is like you were living in the Garden of Eden when the world was perfect." On Christmas Eve, we will be hearing readings from God's Word that will be comforting us once again. Some words will be about Jesus' eternal presence in creation, about Jesus the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we read from John chapter 1. And we'll hear Old Testament prophets proclaim the coming of a Messiah. From Isaiah we will hear, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Jesus." And we will hear the words of the angel that Angel Gabriel said to Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And we will hear words about Jesus' birth from Luke chapter 2. "And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And she laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." And we will sing with the heavenly hosts, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, shalom, goodwill toward men." The ESV translate that phrase as "peace among those with whom he is pleased." So I want you to please note that shalom does not extend to everyone that is on this earth. That peace, that shalom, extends only to those with whom he is pleased. Someone posted in the last couple of days a post on Facebook complaining that when it rains, it pours. This person explained that the universe, or God, she wasn't sure which, must be testing her. She reported having been in a car accident that probably totaled her car. She also pointed out that the accident was not the worst thing, but it was on top of other problems she had as well, financial and apparently many others. Let me suggest that if you consider the universe to be responsible for testing you, I would have to question that she is a child of God. I have to wonder how pleased God might be with her. It didn't sound like she felt God's presence or that there was peace in her heart, because I suspect she will not be hearing the words in the next week that we will be hearing from God's Word, the Bible. And so my prayer for you today is this. My prayer is that you have shalom, that you have the peace from reading and hearing God's Word. I wish that you have, and I pray that you have shalom, the peace that the world cannot simply offer. It cannot even understand. And I wish you the shalom, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Through God's grace, these promises become the very fuel that sparks and spurs us to an even greater faith and greater obedience. And as you are comforted, and as you feel secure, and as your faith grows, that you become more obedient. May that peace, that shalom, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.